You may be seated. I want to turn to 2 Chronicles and the chapter 33. 2 Chronicles and the chapter 33. I want to look at verse 18. Of course, there will be other verses, of course, in this chapter. I was reading this one day, and this theme was brought before me. In 2 Chronicles 33, verse 18. And now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God. And it tells us here about the prayer of a man. It is the prayer of Manasseh. You have the same thing in verse 13. And he prayed unto him. And in verse 19, his prayer also. And so three times it tells us about this man, Manasseh. It tells us something very simple about him. It tells us something very important about him here. It says he prayed. Have you ever thought about the lessons about the prayer of Manasseh? So let's look to the Lord and pray that he bless us here tonight. Our Father in heaven, we ask you to be with us, Lord, around the Word of God. We thank you for the singing of the old-fashioned gospel hymns. And we pray that thou would be with us now as we look at Manasseh. As we, no doubt, would be considering his life. But Lord, we want to learn lessons tonight about his prayer. And we ask you to speak to hearts of any in this meeting tonight who may feel within their own heart and life they're just like Manasseh. But Lord, show them there's hope with thee. And there's mercy with our God. Continue with us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We sang a great hymn tonight at the commencement of our gospel service. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. This is the testimony of every child of God here in this meeting. There was once a time in my life, and child of God, in your life, that we were lost. We were blind. But now we see. We have been saved by the grace of God. The words of that hymn was written by a man called John Newton. He was born in July the 24th, 1725. His father owned a merchant ship. His mother was a godly woman. And yet this young fellow was to lose his mother at a very young age. They tell us at the age of 11, he joined his father on the ship. His father later on was to retire. But John didn't give up the sailing upon the seas. Not only was he upon the seas of life, he went into the seas of wickedness. He got a job working for a ship owner who dealt with slaves. And through this, John went deeper and deeper into sin. He got his own ship. And there he was sailing the seas of this world, going farther and farther away from God, forgetting all that his mother had ever taught him, forgetting all that the Lord had brought before him through teachings when he was a young child. He was a man. It tells us that he got really deep into sin. He got into trouble. There were times he was flogged. There were times he deserted his post. You see, the Bible tells us the way of a transgressor is hard. It's a hard life when you have in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And John Newton was experiencing this in his own heart, in his own life. He was running after the world. He was running after sin, going deeper and deeper into it. It tells us in his life, the history of his life, turning home one time, a great storm arose. It shook him. It shook the ship. He saw the great danger that he was in. Not only himself, but the other people who was with him in this ship.
And he did something that he hadn't done for years.
He prayed to the God of heaven. He lifted his heart to God.
And he said, Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. He was crying to God that God would save him, save all the people on the ship. And you know, God heard him. The storm ceased. He got out of trouble.
And he would date his anniversary of his conversion to the May the 10th to 1748, the day of his conversion.
And this is the man that gave us this great hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, he said. Was blind, but now I see. And it was nothing but the power and the grace of God in the life of this man that changed him, that saved him. He was a slave trader, but he became a servant of the King of Kings. Thus a mighty change. Thus a mighty difference in the life of the heart of any man.
I'm glad tonight in our gospel service, I can say to this congregation, our God is still in the business of saving souls.
He's still in the business of changing lives. And maybe tonight there's someone in this meeting and you feel like you're like John Newton. You feel you're going right down into the depths.
There's hope with God. There's hope with the God of heaven.
There's hope with the Lord Jesus Christ. God can save you. The Bible is full of conversions. It records stories of the most vilest of sinners, who by, I have to say, the grace of God were changed, were saved, and were transformed.
By the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is what we have in this passage that is before us here tonight. Before us is the conversion of a king. His name is Manasseh.
And the thing that really struck me as I read this passage lately was this. It was about his prayer. And I brought before you there in our introduction about three times it mentions this man's prayer. How often you and I would then read this passage about his life and everything about it, and we never think about his prayer. You see, the Bible tells me that he prayed.
He prayed to the God of heaven. And there are three simple lessons tonight I want us to learn about the prayer of Manasseh. And you'll find the first one very simple. It says, he prayed even though he was a great transgressor. And I don't want any of us to overlook this tonight. This man prayed to the God of heaven even though he was a great transgressor.
In the sight of God, this man was a great sinner. And the Bible makes this very, very clear about him. The Word of God describes him as a man in verse 2. He did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Now you think of this. Immediately God introduces this man in 2 Chronicles 33. It tells us he was 12 years old when he came upon the throne. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And then the Bible immediately tells us, well, here's the sort of man he was. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord.
He was a great transgressor. The spotlight is immediately put upon not just Manasseh, but Manasseh's sin. He was a great sinner. You think there of the likeness of his transgression. Look at verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 33. It did evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen. Remember, God has given us a comparison here of the lifestyle of the transgressions and the sin of this man. God says, I'll tell you what it was like. He said, like abominations of the heathen. It's really the sin of the lowest of the lowest. It's the sin of the worst of the worst. This man brought up here had a godly father, it tells us, but he's doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and it's like a heathen. That was the likeness of his transgression. It's also the vileness of his sin and transgression. Look at verse 2, as we said. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us what it was like. It was evil. Now that's a phrase you'll find over in the book of Judges about the children of Israel. It says in Judges 2 verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. You see, sinning against the God of the Bible is doing evil. I'm just meeting tonight. You're sinning like the abominations of the heathen. Are you doing evil in the sight of the Lord? If you're not saved, your life is upside down. You're running after the world and sin. And there's evil in the sight of the Lord. The Bible talks about the vileness of the sin. And the Bible shows us here about the wickedness of a sin. You look at verse 3, and it tells you about the record of his life. There was idolatry in his life. You go down through these verses, and you will see in verse 3, for instance, and he built again the high places, was Hezekiah, his father, had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam. Verse 4, and he built altars in the house of the Lord. Verse 5, and he built altars for all the host of heaven. Verse 7, and he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God. Now you go down through this passage of God's word. Here's a man's doing evil. He's putting up altars. He's putting up idols. He put an idol in the place where God said, there's not to be no idol. But he didn't care what God had said. He didn't listen to the laws of God. Here's a man living by his own heart. The great sin of idolatry was in his heart. He put idols all over the place. He just did what he wanted. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't obey God. You see, his heart was full of wickedness. The sin of idolatry was there. In Jeremiah 2 and verse 13, talking about the children of Israel, and the Lord says to this people, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and shewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And God has shown them that they have run after idolatry. You read the history of the children of Israel. They sinned, and they sinned against God many, many times in this way. Manasseh built his altars. He knew it was wrong. And maybe there's some tonight in the meeting not saved. You know your sin is wrong. Whatever altar you've reared up in your own heart, your own life, whatever sin tonight you're running after, it is evil in the sight of the Lord. He transgressed in the worship of idols. You can see also that he worshipped the host of heaven. In verse end of verse 3, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Now the sun and the stars are brought before us here. But think of this man. He built his altars, but this is not enough. He says, I am going to worship the host of heaven. Some men whispered into his ear, Manasseh, this is all idolatry. This is all wrong. But he says, I don't care. I will worship the sun. I will worship the moon. I will worship the stars. He worshipped all the host of heaven. You see something, the depths of sin, the sin of idolatry that this man was going through. He was a wicked man. Just by looking at the sin of idolatry. But we notice about his sacrifices. Look at verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. So what he did here, he offered his son, his children. He put them through the fire. 2 Kings 21 verse 6 tells us that. And he made his son pass through the fire. Whether it was unto death or not, I am not really sure. But you see, he loved these idols. And he loved these false gods. And he offered his son through the fire to these idols. Now, I'm saying to you, he's a wicked man. He's a very wicked man, of course. Putting the child, the son, through the fire. Even though the Bible said in Deuteronomy 12:31, without reading it, they want to do these things. This is the law of God. God has spoken to Moses to warn the people not to put their children through the fire to their gods. But Manasseh did not listen. He put his son through the fire. He was wicked. But we're not finished with him. We think about the wickedness of a sin, idolatry. Putting his son through the fire. Worshipping the host of heaven. Listen, there was witchcraft in his life. Because you'll see that in verse 6. And he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. Here we can say, is the devil worship? Instead of being led by the Spirit of God, he's been led by the spirit of the devil. He has worshipped the demons and witches and witchcraft. All of these things is in the life and heart of this man. See, his heart was full of wickedness. His heart was full of sin. But we're not finished with him. The Bible tells me that he had murder in his heart and upon his hands. In 2 Kings, for instance, chapter 21 and verse 16, it tells us about a sin of his life at this particular time. And it says, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. It seems that he put God's people to death. History says that he put Uzziah to death. He didn't care about God's people. He didn't care about their love for Jesus Christ. He didn't care about their love for righteousness. He put them to death. So much so, the Bible said he had filled Jerusalem with blood from one end to the other. Blood was upon his hands. Wickedness was in his heart. Indeed, he influenced other people to sin greatly. If you look at verse 9, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. He made the people worse than all the heathen that were before him. But Manasseh didn't care. He says, I'm going to live my life my way. And he lived in great wickedness. And you know, he lived in great sin. This was the life of this man. The vileness, the likeness, the wickedness. What about the stubbornness of his sin? Look at verse 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Isn't God a God of mercy? The Lord looked down from heaven. He saw just how this man was living his life, and other people were following him. And God sent prophets. And he says, go and preach to them. Go and warn them. And these men of God came before Manasseh and all the rest of them, and they preached and they preached to Manasseh. Listen. But they would not hearken. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't listen to the messengers that God brought before him. I do not know how many God sent. I don't know the messages that they brought before Manasseh. But they were sent of God, and they were God's sent messages right to his heart. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. And maybe there's some tonight in the meeting, and your life is full of sin and full of wickedness. And God has sent his servants to preach the gospel unto you. But you ain't listening. You're not listening. Maybe tonight in your heart yourself just wish that fellow would soon close up the Bible and we'll all get out of here. And we can go home. It's the spirit of Manasseh. This man's life, I'm showing you, It was full of transgressions. It was full of wickedness. But here's a lesson I want you to grasp tonight. His life was full of sin and wickedness. But he turned to the God of heaven. He turned to God. This man who was so vile and so wicked. In every department that we've looked very briefly at tonight. He approached God in prayer. Now he must have heard that God is a God of mercy. He must have heard that God is a God of love, you see. And perhaps he heard these things from the lips of his father, Hezekiah, in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 9. In 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 9, Hezekiah, his father, is speaking. And notice what he says to the people. If you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captives, so that they shall come again into this land. Notice the words. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you would turn unto him. I think these are tremendous words. Did Manasseh hear these words from his father? That God is a God of mercy. And if you turn to him, he will not turn away from you. He will turn to you, you see. And here is a man, and his whole heart and his whole life, it was full of sin. It was full of wickedness. But I want you to notice this tonight. He prayed. Prayer to God of heaven. Now, I want to say this tonight. These things are not written or to encourage a sinner to keep on sinning. That is not the purpose of my sermon tonight, but rather to show you that despite your sin, despite your rebellion, despite your wickedness, you can approach God in earnest prayer. You can come to him. Think of this man. Look at his life. Not one of us would have given any hope for Manasseh. We would have said perhaps never turn to God. But Manasseh turned to God. Even though he was a great transgressor, he prayed. He lifted his heart and he prayed, you see, to the God of heaven. Now, there are examples in the Bible. I think of that old publican there in the temple. He goes in, he would not even lift up his eyes unto God in heaven. But the Bible says he looked upon the ground and he smote upon his breast. It says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And in the original language, it actually is the sinner. As if I'm the worst of sinners. He cried to God. He cried to God. Even though he was the vilest, the greatest sinner, he felt within his heart. He prayed, you see. Now, this is to encourage anyone tonight who's in sin up to here. You can come to Christ. There's mercy with the Lord. The Bible tells me in Luke chapter 15, verse 2, about the Lord Jesus Christ, that this man receiveth sinners. And the Lord Jesus tells us in John 6, verse 37, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And there's mercy and there's love for the sinner with the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, maybe some people would say there's no hope for Manasseh. He's too far away from God. There's no way back. But they were wrong. They were wrong. Here's a man prayed to God even though he was a great transgressor. He prayed unto his God. Isn't that wonderful? And I said tonight that should encourage anyone who's not saved in this meeting tonight. You say, I feel my sin. I know my life is wrong in the sight of God. No one has got to say to me that I'm a great sinner in God's sight. I know this personally in my own heart. I know I have rebelled. I know what I have said. I know what I have done.
Don't think you're lost tonight, dear sinner. The gospel is good news, you see. This man receiveth sinners. He receiveth the worst. There it is. I don't think there's anyone in this meeting tonight was ever as good, great a sinner as Manasseh. I'm down just very quickly and briefly. The sins this man committed in his life. But he turned, he prayed to God when he was a great transgressor. And that should encourage anyone tonight who's not saved. Don't close yourself out. Don't listen to the lie of the devil that you're too bad. That the Lord Jesus Christ will not accept you. That the Lord Jesus Christ will not forgive you. Don't listen to those words. He prayed to the God of heaven. Even though he was a great transgressor. There's hope for you tonight. There's mercy with the Lord. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world to die upon the cross and shed His blood to save us and to give us everlasting life. And to save sinners like you, He came to save. And so He prayed, even though He was a great transgressor. And that was the first thing that struck me as I read these verses together just earlier. He prayed also, can I say, when he was in great trouble. When you look at the life of Manasseh, we see that he came to the throne when he was 12 years old. And verse 1 tells us that he reigned for 55 years. And yet of all of this time, you'll never read that he prayed. You never read he prayed. A young boy going onto the throne, 12 years old, king. But there's no word of him praying. And he's running after the pleasures of the world. There's no mention that he prayed. And when he was persecuting the prophets and put them to death, there's no mention that this man ever prayed. He never prayed when he had the false peace of the world in his heart. He never prayed when the people were following him in his pathway of sin. But he only prayed when he got into trouble. Then he started to pray. And you can see that in verse 12 of the chapter, 2 Chronicles 33. And when he was in, listen, affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. I want you to see this. Here's a man and he's in trouble. And the Bible tells us, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. And humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, listen, and prayed unto him. So I see the lesson here. He prayed when he found himself in great trouble. This is when he prayed. He was in trouble politically, of course. You can see what happened to him in verse 11. The Lord brought upon them, this is the people of Manasseh, the captains of the host of the kings of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And we see the foreign soldiers coming into Jerusalem and they get a hold of this man, this king Manasseh. They take him into captivity. They bind him up with chains. They cast him into a cell. He's now a bond slave in a sense. What a turn up of the books for this man. A man who's sitting upon the throne. A man who could just give orders and everybody ran after him. Listen. He's in great trouble. He's in great trouble. He's in chains. He's in captivity. He's in trouble politically. He's carried to Babylon. He's in great trouble. He was in trouble personally as well, because you notice there in verse 12, and when he was in affliction. The word affliction means distress. I mean, shut up or trouble, you see.
Picture this man in the cell, and there he is looking at the chains. He's looking all around him, the loneliness, the darkness of this cell, the awfulness of this cell. There he's looking at his chains. What does he say within his heart? You know what he says? He says, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I'm chained. I'm taken away from my home. I'm taken away here from my family, you see. This was a new situation now for Manasseh. It seems he had very, very little trouble before this. But when he found himself in trouble, you know what he did? He starts to pray. And when he was in affliction, he started to pray. He was in trouble politically and he was in trouble personally. He was in trouble, let me say this to you, spiritually. This is the greatest trouble he was in. He was in trouble with the God of heaven. And it's very easy for us to overlook this. We can say, oh yes, he's in trouble. He's taken from his throne. He's in a cell. He's in chains. He who is the king here of Judah. There he is. He finds himself in bondage. He's in great trouble, great pain, and great affliction. But he's in great trouble with God. This was the greatest trouble of all that he was in. You can see in verse 6, it tells us in 2 Chronicles, and at the end of verse 6, 2 Chronicles 33, they wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord, listen, to provoke him to anger. His whole lifestyle, his sin, it made God angry. He was under the wrath of God, this man. He was in a sin. He was far away from God. He was heading down towards hell to lose his soul for all eternity. This man was in great trouble and he besought the Lord and he humbled himself greatly. And he prayed to the God of heaven. He knew he was in trouble with God. He knew this. He knew that his sin had offended this great God of the Bible. He knew that he was under the very wrath of God. So listen, he humbled himself like a child before God. I must have mercy. I, Lord, must have thy forgiveness. And so he prayed to the God of heaven when he was in great trouble. You will find that this thread goes through the Bible of other people. We think of the children of Israel there in the wilderness in Psalm 107 and verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And you'll find that throughout God's Word. When they find themselves in trouble, people pray. And God works this way sometimes. He lets people get into trouble and then they start to look for God. And before this, perhaps, they never looked for God. Never prayed to the God of the Bible. Never looked for Christ. But trouble comes, different story now. They find themselves in affliction. They find themselves in great trouble. They find themselves helpless. And they look all around them and the only one who can help them is the God of the Bible. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sin will always bring a person into trouble. I tell you, the Bible talks about pleasure of sin for a season, and we know that, of course. But it brings nothing but trouble. Trouble into our hearts. Trouble into our homes. Trouble with our souls. It gets us under the very wrath of God. It makes us, as the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. It brings trouble into the hearts and lives of people. It makes them slaves of sin. They become servants of sin. You take a look around the world today, what do we see? People, drunkards. We see people, drug addicts, held by sin, some other fashion. They've got themselves into trouble. Why is it? Sin will get you into trouble. Sin brings before anyone, I said tonight, the wrath of God. God is angry with the wicked, the Bible says, every day. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, listen, abideth on him. This is John chapter 3, verse 36. It said before that, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Those who trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he has everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, it abideth on him. Notice those words. The wrath of God abiding over the head of a sinner. Do you ever think of that? Do you ever think as you go about your work, that upon your heads, the wrath of God? Do you ever think when you go to bed at night, dear sinner, and you're condemned? He that believeth not is condemned already. But the wrath of God, just the top of a person's head. Listen, you're in great trouble. You're in great trouble with God. Your sin has taken you away from the Lord. You're lost and you're far away from God, you see. And I say to you tonight, you see, that the only way to escape is to cry to the Lord. Cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was this man's only escape. There was no other way. There was no other way out for him. He was in great trouble. And he prayed. He prayed to the God of heaven. And sin has got you into trouble. Listen, here's good news tonight. There's a way out. There's a way out. There's only one way out. It's Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who bled and died upon the cross. He's your only hope. He is the Savior of the world. And you can pray to him when you're in great trouble, when no one else can help you. The psalmist said in Psalm 77, verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Notice those words. When he was in trouble, I sought the Lord. And Manasseh prayed when he's in great trouble. But he's in great trouble. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And so he prayed when he's a great transgressor. He prayed when he's in great trouble. Do you know tonight your sin has got you into trouble with God? The sin problem is the most serious problem in the life of anyone who's unconverted. To get their sins forgiven is first and foremost, before any other thing. To get peace with God, to get God's mercy, get God's forgiveness, that's the most important thing in the life of anyone unconverted here tonight. Pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your heart 100% to him and cry to him for mercy. And he will hear your prayer. And so Manasseh prayed when he's a great transgressor. Manasseh prayed when he's in great trouble. Manasseh prayed, and there was a great transformation. Listen, God heard him. God heard him. This man in a cell, in great trouble, and in great sin. And when he was afflicted, he besought the Lord his God, and prayed unto him. And listen, he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. In verse 13, God heard him. God heard the voice of this sinner because he was a great sinner. God heard his voice. He heard a voice crying to him. And he was entreated of him. And you know, God heard him. He forgave him. He saved him. He changed him. And you can see that in his life because it says in verse 13, and brought him again to Jerusalem. His return. He brought him back to where the enemies had brought him away from. You thought there's no hope with this, of course. But of course there is hope with the Lord. You'll find his restoration, how he built the wall again there around the city. You'll find about his repentance in verse 15. He took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord. And all the altars that he had built. Man, this man, there's restoration. There's repentance. He's going home. He's home. And he takes these false idols and he casts them all out. And the Bible tells us that he prepared the altar of the Lord, verse 16, and sacrificed her on peace offerings and thanks offering. And he commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Here's a man, he's been saved. Listen, here's a man who's been changed. Is this the same man? Of course it is. This is a man who made the streets of Jerusalem flow with blood. This is him. Is this a man who worshipped satanic things? Yes, this is him. Who worshipped the sun? Who worshipped false gods? Is this a man who put his son through the fire? Yeah, this is him. He's before the altar. He's a changed man. He's a new man. He commands the people here of Judah, just serve the Lord God of Israel, you see. I say to you, what happened to him? What happened to Manasseh? I'm sure the people looked upon this man and said, well, something has happened to Manasseh. What happened to him? He prayed. He cried to the God of heaven for mercy. And God heard him. And God saved him. And God forgave him and changed him. But you know, he made him a new man altogether. You see, this prayer brought a great transformation in his life. And he prepared the altar and he restored the worship of God, you see, and forgiven and changed. Because he turned his heart to Christ. Now the Bible tells us, of course, that anyone who turns to Christ with all their heart will be saved, will be forgiven, will be changed. 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. Look at that verse in the light of the life of Manasseh. He was a new man. He was a new creature. And God who did this for Manasseh, and here's what we want to get hammer home tonight in the gospel. God can do this for you. There's hope with Christ. There's light with Christ. There's mercy with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn your whole heart to Him and cry with all your heart, He'll save you. The Lord will save you. How do I know? Romans chapter 10 verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God heard the voice of Manasseh's prayer. And He saved them. God will hear your prayer. You come to Him by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He'll hear your prayer. Psalm 34 verse 6 is a tremendous verse to sum this up. He said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved them out of all of his troubles. And David here could testify to what God had done in his life. He says, I'm only a poor man. He says, I'm in great trouble. But this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And I say to you tonight in closing, this is great news for the sinner who perhaps feels there's no hope for you with God. Who feels tonight there could not be any mercy for me, I'm too bad. Listen, think of the prayer of Manasseh. He prayed unto the God of heaven. And God heard him. And God saved him. And so he prayed, even though he was a great transgressor. He prayed when he was a great trouble. And when he prayed, there was a great transformation. And I said tonight to you in closing, if you cry to God tonight where you are, with all your heart, He'll save you tonight. He'll forgive you your sins if you turn to Him. Do you feel your affliction? Do you feel your sin? Do you feel you're far away from God? I trust tonight you've had good news brought from the pulpit. There's mercy with the Lord. I cried to the Lord in all my trouble one time as a young man years ago. Others in this meeting, we turned to Jesus Christ. We cried unto Him and He heard us.
forgive us and changed us. Now listen, if God can save Manasseh, He can save you. He can save you. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse the vile sinner clean. And we trust tonight the Lord will write these truths upon your heart tonight. And with this man who prayed in God's mercy. And if I can help anyone tonight to father in these things, do speak with us. Don't go home if you're not right with God, but want to get right with the Lord. Because the Lord can save you and give you everlasting life. May the Lord write this word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Amen. Let's just close and a wee word of prayer. God's people's praying that the Lord has spoken to hearts tonight, that they may be unconverted. That the Lord will bring them to the Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. We pray you'll bless the word tonight to hearts, Lord, of any who's unsaved. There's mercy with the Lord. Or people would have thought there's no hope for Manasseh. Perhaps, Lord, one time he thought there was no hope for himself. And then he prayed. He prayed in a great transgressor and great trouble. And then our fathers have been looking at a great transformation. Touch the hearts of any tonight who's unsaved. I pray they'll be saved by the grace of God. Keep your hand upon us, take us our separate ways. And Lord, keep bringing us safely back to thy house throughout the week, and then next Lord's Day, and I will. May we meet here to worship thee and to praise the God of our salvation. I pray now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, will rest, remain, and abide upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.